Tonight we're going to have a discussion on space colonization in the future and whether this is likely a good thing or a bad thing, in general, what kinds of views we have on it and how we should affect it. So I can start with my views. On the one hand, a lot of people are interested in space colonization. They want to expand the great things that they see in humanity to the stars. They want to spread life and knowledge and complexity. Many people want to have space colonies as a backup against catastrophes that might happen on a single planet. To the extent that a lot of people care about this, we should give it some weight in our views. My own opinion is that I also fear the risks that colonization would bring. It would allow for vastly more computational power as people harness planets and stars to produce Dyson swarms or whatever technology to create immense amounts of computational power. And this has the potential for great things, but also for not so great things. For example, there would be a lot of computations done by a future civilization, some of which would include negative reinforcement learning. It might also include simulations of wildlife or other minds in various kinds of ways for science or other kinds of psychology experiments. And some fraction of these would probably suffer greatly. Suffering is a pretty intrinsic part of biology, or in this case, artificial life. It's a very important feature of organisms to be able to suffer, because that helps them avoid things that would harm their goals. And I don't expect suffering to vanish no matter how much we try. You can certainly be a lot lower, but I expect that there will always be some amount of suffering that results from massive computational power. And just the fact that you have vastly more computational power means there will be vastly more total suffering. So from that perspective, I'm also concerned about what space colonization would allow for. So there are two ways that you might try to deal with this. One is to say we should not colonize space at all. Let's try to oppose the idea completely. And if most of humanity would be okay with that, then that might be the best strategy. But in practice, most of humanity is in favor of colonization. And even if that weren't the case, there are evolutionary pressures for those who want to colonize to do so. It's like a niche in an ecosystem. It's always going to be filled by whoever takes control. So the more realistic approach, and probably the better approach in expectation, is for us to work with the people who favor colonization to try to design safety measures against producing massive amounts of suffering. So, for example, devising computational systems that, even if they use negative reinforcement, are more humane in our view, or maybe that use more positive reinforcement, or other learning algorithms that we don't consider to be so closely related to the kind of suffering that we don't like. Similarly, with simulations or experiments, it could be a situation much like we see with laboratory animal experiments today, where we can try to devise substitutes and find ways to minimize, like the 3 R's of animal experimentation can also apply to sentient simulations that are done for science. And so those kinds of measures might be able to reduce a lot of the suffering that a future civilization would include, without curtailing the dreams that most humans have for the potential. So it's both more realistic in the sense that we're not going to stop space colonization. We can mainly just shift the way it happens. And it also is more accepting of the wishes that others have. And so there can be joint efforts by many different parties to work toward this kind of future. Even the people who advocate colonization generally don't want suffering. Although naively, they may in practice say things like, I wish we could spread green plants and nature to the stars. In practice, they're not really thinking about the horrors of Darwinian life, predation, disease, hunger, etc., that would entail. And probably if they could design animals to not experience such gruesome events, they would want to do so as well. So there seems to be room for collaboration between these different groups. So I think we should push for a more humane future. We don't have to support colonization, but we probably shouldn't actively oppose it, and we should rather try to make what does happen more humane.
Yes, I have to say broadly, I agree with Brian here. I mean, as Christian writer C.S. Lewis said many decades ago, God forbid that humans ever escape planet Earth to spread their iniquity elsewhere. Whether we're actually going to do so, I think on balance this is probably the case, but it's completely beyond our technological powers at the moment, and I wouldn't say it's inevitable. After all, it's a long time since we actually visited the moon. I think a lot of people's conception of space exploration radiating throughout the galaxy is shaped by Hollywood movies and memories of Star Trek. And if, as seems not implausible, we are alone in our galaxy, possibly alone within our cosmological horizon, and all we would actually discover in alien solar systems was lumps of rock or gas giants, I think some of the attraction would wear off. But let's assume that perhaps next century and beyond, it is going to become technically feasible for intelligent sentient life to spread to other solar systems and eventually throughout the galaxy. I think it's vital that we don't spread suffering in the process. I am, despite my temperamentally pessimistic nature, somewhat more optimistic than Brian here, in that I think we are going to, in a sense, isolate the molecular signature of unpleasant experience, any form of experience below hedonic zero. And once we have done so, we can, so to speak, quarantine it and make it off limits. And I think if, and it's a very big if, we decide to phase out experience below hedonic zero on Earth, then it's unlikely we would seek to replicate the horrors of Darwinian life by terraforming other solar systems. But, of course, I could be totally wrong about this prediction. There are too many variables, and certainly at the moment, if we were to contemplate space colonization, sadly, we would replicate all too many of the horrors of life here on planet Earth today. What do you think? Do you think we should be aiming for colonizing the galaxy, or is it best that we stay on our own solar system?
Ideally, it would be nice to have more of the things we value, but depending on what the potential risks are, it may or may not be worth going into, depending on what you value and depending on what you think the risks are and so on.
The strategies depend maybe a lot on your meta-ethical viewpoints. For example, like as Brian said, like we are probably all very negative-leaning utilitarians, so prima facie, it seems like we should not try to colonize the galaxy, not work on super-intelligent AI colonizing the galaxy. But it depends. I think it depends critically when we build friendly AI, for example, like Yudkowsky, like it probably implies suffering a lot. But if this approach goes right, it's probably better than friendly AI. Is, of course, implies much less suffering than, for example, a paper clipper, probably, because a paper clipper would also create maybe simulations that suffer, or like as Brian said, like create universes, lab universes. So there's probably more suffering in a paper clipper than from a friendly AI. But if you look at mind space of possible AIs, for example, and friendly AIs maybe here, then a AI that is very close to a friendly AI in Mindspace, for example, that has all the values that the humans are, but just one value is, for example, inverse. It doesn't want to reduce suffering as we normal humans are, but it wants to maximize suffering. Then this is slightly different from friendly AI in Mindspace. Unfriendly AI is very, very bad, much, much worse than a paper clipper. But so there are some people who argue that from a negative-leaning utilitarianism perspective, trying to create friendly AI is even an expected utility worse than just trying to create a normal AI without safety measures, because then it's a high likelihood that you just reach some point and mind state is completely off from friendly AI, so it will only create some suffering, but not so much. But yeah, the question is, like, there are also like some points in Mindspace near to a friendly AI that are also pretty good. For example, a friendly AI that has all our values but just doesn't care about boredom or something like this. And it will just, yeah, for example, like Yudkowsky fears that it would happen, something like this. Like, it just simulates all humans and just, like, they play one video game. He has this example, like, they play one video game and just the best moment of this video game, they see always this win screen or something for the rest of the universe, then they would be super happy. Like, for him it's bad, but for, like, yeah, most negative leaning utilitarians, it's pretty good.
My guess is the friendly AIs that go wrong are not too probable. So in terms of the expected value of the paper clippers versus trying for a friendly AI, it's not obviously worse to have a friendly AI. I'm currently undecided on exactly which would be better. And although I think that many of the things that would conduce for friendly AI, like greater reflection, greater cooperativeness in the future, having more time to think about these things, are good for other reasons, namely that they allow for more positive sum compromise arrangements, and in general allow for people to find problems and solve them and so on. I think as far as the whether the suffering is inevitable, there are certain kinds of suffering that may be pretty hard to get rid of, like if you need a really high fidelity simulation to study science, or like learn about biology or physics or whatever, then it may be pretty hard to avoid the suffering, because that's just like, if you try to edit out the suffering, then the simulation is no longer exactly correct. But there are a lot of cases where it seems potentially possible to eliminate. If you just need crude simulations, you could potentially cut out some of the worst parts. Similarly, with suffering subroutines, there's a broad space of possibilities for how you can build learning algorithms, and some we might regard as much less morally unpleasant than others. So I think there's probably a very wide range of possible amounts of suffering in the future based on like how much we try to shape it in a good way. Beyond that, the existence of goal preservation or a singleton in general in the future could be a pretty good thing on balance, because then you have less conflict, and like historically periods with more centralization and more of a singleton structure have been more peaceful in general, lead to more flourishing and so on. So just from that perspective, it could also be important to have a singleton-like structure of the kind that you would achieve with friendly AI. Like, if you have or the kind of at least research that goes into friendly AI, if you have just like black box AIs that are developed, then there's no guarantee that they stay consistent, and they might even devolve into there might be rebellions or whatever within their own control structures. Although I would assume that even if you developed a pretty black box AI, it would soon try to develop goal preservation, because that's very important for its goal achievements. But at least in the interim, things could be messy. So it seems plausible that goal preservation might be a good thing to work towards. Although I wouldn't say it's necessarily the best thing. That remains to be seen.
Yes, I mean, from a strict negative utilitarian perspective, I think one would only have any kind of obligation to go into, or possible obligation to go into space and investigate the galaxy if one thinks there's a need for cosmic rescue missions. Now, as you know, I'm very sceptical that life does exist elsewhere in the galaxy, but this is probably a minority opinion, or at least let's say that astrobiologists, as they optimistically call themselves, are uncertain on the matter. We will probably know within the next few decades, I would guess, not least as we understand more about the origin of life here on Earth. I mean, if, for instance, we discovered that life had independently originated elsewhere in the solar system, this would be very strong presumptive evidence that there will be life, Darwinian life, elsewhere in the galaxy. And yeah, this would then, I think, we would have an obligation to go out and rescue and, rework Darwinian ecosystems to phase out involuntary suffering if, and it's a very big if, we think that the rewards outweigh the potential risks. Unlike Brian, I don't believe in the possibility of digital sentience, so our worries are very different there.
Yeah, from my perspective, cosmic rescue missions are unlikely to be a substantial factor in the calculation just because digital sentience is vastly more efficient than biological.